Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Laura W. from New Jersey and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and exercise bulimic. Today is Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and we are at page 70, the third paragraph, starting with, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory, ending with, straighten out the past if we can, and we're reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Christy K., The 12 Traditions, Alex K., reader of the text is Jody E., Lois P. will be reading page 164 at the end of the meeting, and Penny L.C. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and the announcements will be done by Betsy H. The reference numbers for yesterday, 10 a.m. meeting Wednesday, March 29th, is 20,105. That's 20105. And for today, Thursday, March 30th, the 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 20,107. That's 20107. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Christy K. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christy K. from Washington State, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and these are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Christy K. I will now ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here. Alex K. in California, recovered for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Grateful to do service. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex K. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop to share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please try not to use speakerphone as it does cause an echo. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 70, the third paragraph, starting with if we have been thorough about our personal inventory, and just that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Jody E. to read the paragraph and share her experience, strength, and hope. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, everybody. And thank you, Laura, for your service. My name is Jody. And I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. Yes, what a nice and thorough explanation of what we've done in our four-step inventory when we do it the Big Book way. We list our resentments, our fears, it doesn't mention our fears here, and our sex conduct. And it is a thorough inventory. And we have begun, hopefully, to comprehend the futility and fatality of our resentments. And also of our fears. My fears are also futile and potentially fatal and destructive if I let them fester and if I let them go on and on and on. But I don't have to do that anymore because I have this way of life. I have this plan, this blueprint for how to get out of my fears, how to let go of my resentments, and how to stop hurting people with my conduct. I am so willing to straighten out the past if I can. And I'm not there yet, but I'm getting ready to take more action on what I have uncovered by doing a thorough inventory. What can I do about this? I do not want to get into morbid reflection. I certainly don't want to stay in morbid reflection about what I've done, what I've failed to do, my tendencies, my patterns. No. I'm going to leave them behind. And I'm going to change. I'm going to have a psychic change. Hallelujah. And I don't have to be triggered all the time by people because I'm not as insecure as I was, thanks to admitting, thanks to this whole process. We're only on step four. I won't jump ahead. But the good news is that we have more steps coming that are going to get us out of this self-preoccupation and into a life of sane and useful happiness. So let's keep going. Let's not stop here. Let's keep going and work all the steps, and let's stay abstinent so that we can work them thoroughly and completely. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jody E., for getting us started. If you're just joining us, we're on page 70 of the Big Book, the third paragraph, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory. And before I take some names for people who want to share, just a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you keep your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week, please hold back and let others share. So I take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who'd like to share?
Io A, Southern California.
Io A.
Robin P.
I got Robin P.
Veronica B.
I got Veronica and Mo. Veronica B and Mo H. Anybody else? IOA, Robin P, Veronica B, and Mo H. I could take one or two more. All right, let's, in the essence of time, let's go with that. IOH from California, followed by Robin P.
Hi, this is IOA from Southern California in Orange County. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to say that I am at step four. I just started, and I just completed my resentments, and it's really good for me to hear, like, that I don't have to sit and just wallow in my past and wallow and relive, you know, various things. I know that step four has different parts of it, and I think I might feel pretty good because I'm just at the part where I list all the people I feel did something to me. But even in anticipating my part and in anticipating, you know, the ability to move past it, I feel really good about that. And I'm so grateful to the Most High for that gift. I have 32 days today, and I know that part of my ability to move forward has been listening to people who have gone before me, and the way they talk about the fourth step, fifth step, sixth step, all the steps has taken a little bit of fear out for me and made me actually look forward to the steps. So coming to these meetings have really helped me, and I'm so grateful today for just that time I get to spend with the Most High and with people doing the same work. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, IOA from California. Up next is Robin P., followed by Veronica B. Robin.
Hi. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. It's such a blessing. You know, oh my gosh, I've done a couple of four steps, and I was fearless and searching, and I've listed and analyzed my resentments and all of this, and the destructiveness of the resentments. You know, resentment eats away at my own container, you know, taking poison, thinking it's going to kill the other person, all that. And oh my gosh, and still that destructive disease voice that goes, oh my gosh, can you believe that person just did that? And then so if something happens where I was, you know, I joke around with myself saying it's the resentment when it keeps coming back, that obsession of the mind. It's not the sentiment, it's the resentment. When it comes back again a second or third time and says, can you believe that? I go, oh my gosh, that's a resentment. I still, after 7 years of abstinence, I still have to catch it and go, oh my gosh, that's a resentment. You need to go do a 10 step. And it doesn't say, and to continue this process that they talk about in this paragraph, it doesn't say if once in a blue moon, it says when, like it's going to happen. It's going to keep happening. It's not a surprise. I did not graduate once I did these steps, as my husband said, you know, about his own program. And, you know, I get to practice learning tolerance, patience, and goodwill. I feel so much better and so much happier. Do I want to be happier? Right. Even if it's a righteous resentment, quote unquote, I can't afford that. It's a luxury of other people that I can't afford. And I feel so much happier when I take the high road and when I pray for them and remember that they're sick and they don't have a program and I do. And so I have an advantage spiritually that I get to practice these principles in all my affairs and pray for them because they don't. And I just, you know, this is a spiritual discipline, a daily discipline. And I'm so grateful that I'm recovered but not cured. And I get to keep growing spiritually. And it occurred to me yesterday, too, I was thinking about the 11th step, you know, continue to pray and meditate and continue to grow spiritually. It's not just keep your practice going. It's I get to keep growing up, or I always say I get to grow up or grow out, and I choose to grow up today. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I'm sending you all a big hug. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin P. from Costa Rica. Up next is Veronica B., followed by Mo H. Veronica, please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you for your service. So I've finished reading, I've finished writing my inventory, and there's a lot of hard truths that I am learning about myself in this process of the inventory. And it says here, we have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. So for me, being a compulsive eater and getting down to the causes and conditions of myself, my true self, you know, all this stuff my inventory really stems from like my childhood, like my tap root of my selfishness and self-centeredness goes way back to my childhood, where I learned, you know, these false way of living, the false ideas. You know, I was raised where I don't talk, I don't feel, and I don't trust. Okay, and I grow up that way. And it's going to stem in every area of my life. And that's what I'm going to bring to the table. No wonder I hurt people. No wonder I make decisions that later, you know, causes to hurt me, you know. And but in this process, I get to get a God of my understanding that will protect me through all of this. This inventory helps me to find out the hard truth about myself. And how I'm really not the person that I thought I was, you know, and that I get to be reborn by doing this work. And I get to learn a new way of living by first learning the hard truths about me, the things that are blocking me from connecting with God, and then learning how to live on a spiritual basis, you know, because this is a spiritual program. What that means is it's an inside job. It's an inside job. First, I have to get rid of all the false ideas I have about myself so that I can let God in, or so I can let God just like do his work on me every day, because I need a lot of help. And this is a life it's a day at a time. It's a day at a time, and this is how I do my 10 step too. Visceral. And this is a way of life. So I love that I'm living in a solution today, and that I have a God of my understanding that takes care of me today. And it's absolutely miraculous, because I used to eat and throw up for 15 years. And today, I don't live that way today. I live in the sunlight of the Spirit today. So everyone have a good day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Veronica B. Thank you so much from California. Up next is Mo H. Good morning, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Laura. Thank you for your service and everyone on the line. And my name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Northern California. So this, we're wrapping up here, step 4 and 5. And it says, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory, we have written down a lot. Well, thorough means complete, and it means complete to the best of my ability at that time, because since I've done the first 4 step, more stuff has come up, more stuff, and sometimes I go back and do the sheets, and sometimes I do a 10 step. And then it says we listed and analyzed our resentments. We didn't just list them, but we went through each one and saw how it affected me. And I say the sick man's prayer, and then the last column is I look at what's my part in this resentment, which helps me to release the resentment into the universe, into the air. And then it says we've begun to comprehend their futility, which means it serves no purpose, and fatality, which means they will kill me. Resentments will kill me. And then we see we have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. You know, there isn't any other program like this one that helps me go through what is going on with me, looking at myself, knowing that, you know, when someone disturbs me, there is something wrong with me. I've got to look at myself. And, you know, this way of living has been just a gift, that I don't have to carry around those resentments, the fears, any of my sexual conduct was out of line. I have gone on to make amends, which we're going to study in the next chapter on here. And so this is just a beautiful way of cleaning up my past and keeping my present clean by, you know, doing 10 steps, and I know that's jumping ahead, but faith did for me what I could not do for myself, and it helped me get through this. And step 4, thorough, means, you know, not perfect, but thorough. We did as best we could in working this, and I just love the way, you know, Bill is guiding us through each step of the journey, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Thank you so much for sharing. Just if you've gotten on the line a little late, we are on page 70 of the big book, the third paragraph, starting with, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory, ending with, straighten out the past if we can. And I'm now going to open the lines. If you haven't shared within the last 2 days, please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who else would like to share?
Dara C.
Is it Dara C?
Yeah.
Okay, Dara C. Who else?
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. from California.
Sherry Jo C.
Sherry Jo C. from California. Gotcha. Plenty of room for a few more. Perfect chance to share. Okay, we'll start with those three, Dara C., Barbara A., and Sherry Jo C. Dara C., please press star 1 and share with us.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, and thank you for your service and everyone doing service today. My name is Dara C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Delaware, And I was thinking back on the first time I did a four step, and I'm writing the columns, I'm going downward, right? So the first and second column, I'm having a grand old time. Who am I resentful at and why? I'm like, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I knew everything was everyone else's fault. If they had just done this and this, then everything would be fine. Then I get to, you know, further along in the columns, what is my part? Hold on now. Hold up. What? What do you mean my part? That I was in for a rude awakening. It was really, really, I don't know, enlightening when I could finally be free enough to see these resentments in a different light and know that I had played a part in them, and that in most of them I could read the columns backwards and see how I had gotten the ball rolling on all of it. So had I not been selfish, self-seeking, a people pleaser, whatever, then I wouldn't have said yes when I should have said no, and it would have prevented the whole bloody thing from happening. And so that was kind of crazy that I could see, like, wow, if I focus on my part, because I can't do a thing about their part, if I focus on my part and set boundaries and work with, in connection with my higher power, then a lot of the resentments don't even end up coming to fruition if I focus on my side of the street. And so this just happened last night where my sister's in-laws, not my in-laws, invited me to something for one of the upcoming holidays, and I thought that I should say yes because, you know, I was shooting all over myself. And but I was having some angst about it. I was having a disturbance about it, so I took some nice, long cleansing God pauses, and I got quiet, and I heard very loudly the word decline. And without overthinking it or overcomplicating it or feeling guilty or anything, I sent a short and sweet, I'm unable to make it, but thank you so much for inviting me. And I felt so free, like a million pounds had been released by saying no, by declining. And I know in my heart of hearts that if I'd have said yes, it would have let people would have pissed me off because I was already getting passive aggressive texts about why haven't you RSVP'd yet? And then from my mother and from my sister, from her husband, it was becoming this whole thing and I was feeling very uneasy. And then just by saying no, I just dropped the rope, dropped the tension, released the whole thing. And now there's no resentment for me to do a 10 step over. Whereas if I said yes, because I quote unquote should say yes, it probably would have led to a whole bunch of stuff that
gentle
I would have had
reminder.
Thank you so much. So I just wanted to share that, and I hope everyone has a beautiful day today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dara C. from Delaware. Thank you for your share. Up next is Barbara A. from California.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I feel it's important for me to get on and share as I'm reading, you know, with y'all every day, listening to people, and recovering from this disease, which for so many years I denied. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. When I've done, and I've done, as people have said, other four steps, when I did this fourth step, I said to myself, this is it. I have to look at what my resentments are doing to me because I've lived with them for so long. And I understand people listening who are newcomers are like, well, I don't know. I felt this way. I'm just imagining you feel the same way. Like, I can't do this. There's no way. Being willing is all I had to do, is be willing to write down this inventory. And then to analyze that with another person. That's another big thing for me, is I always thought I could do this all by myself. I didn't need anybody's help. I'm very self-sufficient. I'm a very strong person. I can do this all by myself. I had to learn that once I listed these resentments and then like kind of analyzed them with another person, a loving, gentle, kind person who I was grateful to find, I became aware of how destructive they were in my life and how they just didn't do me any good. I wasn't deepening my relationship. I wasn't having a spiritual relationship with God. God was never involved in any of my resentments. If you're out there, you're nervous or scared about this four-step inventory, do it afraid. Do it anyway. The change in my whole life and my whole way of being with people, being in relationships, changed once I was able to thoroughly do a fourth step. And to the best of my ability, as people have said before. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. from California. Thank you for your share. Up next is Sherry Jo C. from California, and then I'll open it up for some more shares. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered in Southern California. Thank you so much for the meeting this morning. And, you know, it's always a great day when we make it through the sex portion of the inventory. So, and I love this paragraph. You know, to me, you know, the inventory, you know, being thorough, analyzing it, I'm starting to see my patterns. You know, and the other phrase from the big book that rings in my mind as we read this paragraph is where it'll say, you know, the alcoholic is like a tornado roaring through the lives of others. And whenever I think of that, it just makes me so emotional because, you know, having gotten to this point and being recovered for, you know, a number of years now and having this daily practice of looking at myself, not just through my own needs, my own wants, my desires, my impulses, what I want to do in the moment to feel better, but instead looking at, you know, the bigger picture of my patterns, it's like, it makes me emotional. You know, even looking back, I don't have regrets. I don't regret the past. I don't wish to shut the door on it. But I have a very healthy sense of, you know, I was crappy to people, you know. I was in the food. And I was thinking about me, and that was my pattern, and I was reacting to life, and I was extremely impulsive, whether that was my sex conduct or whether that was my behavior at work or whether it was, you know, my family members. And I did what I wanted to do to make myself feel better in the moment. And when I think about that, I do regret it, and I think it's healthy. And you know, I don't want to be that way anymore. And it's part of making the decision, you know, to turn my life and will over and to go on with the rest of these steps. And for me, you know, I practice all 12 of them every day. I have to. And I've learned, you know, by doing this process, I don't go with my first thought or my first reaction. You know, I have the patience to say, wait a minute, to myself. And happened just last night. You know, I mean, it is a daily thing. It's part of my daily living. It's moment by moment part of how my mind works now. It's a working part of the mind that, you know, my boyfriend was here. And the thing is, he's cheerful and he kind of teases me about things. And he's telling me, he's like, you don't have enough cable channels. And he wanted to watch Antique Roadshow. Well, after he teased me about a few different things, including, you know, I need to train my dog about this and that, I started getting irritated, you know, and, but the thing is I don't act on those impulses anymore. You know, I don't lash out at people anymore. You know, as he left, you know, he left later on in the evening and my first thought was, he was freaking rude to me tonight, you know? And then I thought, no, what's really going on? And I thought, I'm tired. You know, I haven't given myself the sleep I've needed for like the last 5 days. Thank you. And, you know, I was able to not look at it through the lens of what he did to me, but what's going on with me? And I'm just so grateful to not be acting out at the world anymore like a tornado. Thanks so much for the meeting. A pass.
Thank you, Sherry Josie from California. We are on page 70 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the third paragraph, if we have been thorough about our personal inventory. I have time for about three or four more shares. Although we value your experience, please, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience, too. So who would like to share?
Freya H.
DLW?
I think I heard Freya H.
Danielle W.
Nancy L. and Tom.
Tom A.
Nancy and Tom, and we're going to stop it there. Hopefully we have time for everybody if you take your 3 minutes. Freya H., please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Freya H. I am a recovered compulsive eater bulimic restrictor, and I'm in Colorado. Thank you so much, everybody, for your shares. When I read this paragraph, it has a few pieces in here that I'm like, hey, wait, this is part of step eight, right? Like, willing to straighten out the past if I can, and, you know, learning, beginning to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill. So what this paragraph is indicating to me is that when I go through this process and I'm thorough about it, that these are the expected outcomes, that I'm going to have this change of heart, basically. And so I have to actually be an active participant in my inventory. Like, I remember early on when I would get to the, you know, the more challenging parts of the steps, I felt like I wanted to, like, hold my breath and just get through it. You know, like, can I just kind of, like, not be present for it, but just do it, you know, just get it over with. That's how I felt about my inventory. That's how I felt about my amends. And I had a very kind and wise sponsor who pointed out to me that this isn't about, you know, a checklist of just, okay, just write down the names and do it and get it done. This is about a relationship with, you know, with a higher power. And that in order to really develop that relationship, I have to be fully present. I have to be in it. I have to be feeling the feelings that come up in order to be really thorough about my inventory. And I have been taught, and this is a wonderful tool for me, that whenever I do an inventory, whether it's, you know, a fourth step or, you know, like a 10-step spot check, just to always start with a prayer. You know, God, please help me see the truth about this inventory, about, you know, what do you want me to learn from this? Because when I am able to approach this process with, you know, just being open to it, it is always so valuable. I learn so much, and I get, you know, I get turned around, and I can see, you know, like everything it says in this paragraph, I can see the futility and fatality, and my mind is open to a different way because I see how badly I need the different way. So this paragraph is really, really reminding me that that this is about me being present for it, and that these outcomes are should be expected if I have done this. I don't want to say correctly, but if I've just, you know, if I've really been doing this, you know, with an open heart and an open mind, that I can expect that I do have a change of heart and that I am beginning to see the world differently. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Freya H. from Colorado. Up next is Danielle W., followed by Nancy. Danielle, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California. happy to be here today. What sort of sparked my attention this morning in this paragraph was we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we look on them as sick people. You know, this was such a shift in the way that I saw the world and people in it when I completed the fourth step. I had always been in this victim stance. You know, these people are doing things to me, you know, trying to isolate or protect myself. I was so consumed with my own anxiety and fear and resentment and that I honestly did not see other people. I was so selfish and self-centered in my sickness. And this allowed me for the first time to actually look and see the people around me, to see them as human beings, you know, fallible, you know, equally damaged, you know, trying to do their best. And I felt like for the first time, I was able to start to connect to the human race. It wasn't me against them or them against me. It was, you know, we're in this together and we're not perfect and we cause harm. And, you know, all I can do is work my program, you know, keep my side of the street clean, but also have some compassion for other people and to see them clearly. You know, I love this, that I can have tolerance, patience, and goodwill, regardless of the situation. And that's really a gift of this part of the program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle W. from California. Up next is Nancy, followed by Tom. Nancy, please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, Nancy L. in Riverside, California. Grateful to be on the line. What gets me is it says thorough personal inventory. When I did my inventory, my sponsor said to go through it again and see if you'd missed anything, and I prayed. And what I realized is that one of my biggest resentments was against God, because I was mad at God because he didn't do what I wanted. And so I actually had to write God on the list and make amends to God. And I also realized through seeing the patterns in my fourth step that I was also resentful at myself. So I think once I wrote those two big names, which were my biggest resentments, God and then myself for getting me in all these messes, that really led to the healing and that really led to the freedom and opened the door for everything else. And that's also when my sponsor introduced two-way prayer, which was wonderful. So thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day, and I pass.
Thank you, Nancy L. from California. Up next is Tom, and then I think we'll have time for some more. Tom, please give us the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Tom A. from Greenbelt, Maryland. Thanks. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and just really been enjoying this, going through the inventory. What strikes me is that the process, while it says to be thorough, it isn't like beating up on myself. It's just joining the human race. You know, as I listen on the meetings, I hear we all have similar character flaws, that the selfishness and the self-centeredness gets in the way, and we become victims in different ways and act out in different ways. And so the important thing is not to, for me to feel bad, it's to really connect with my higher power and know how much my higher power loves me, and to see that I'm part of this community that loves me, and that we're all more alike than different, and that my job is to embrace my wholeness, to embrace the gifts my higher power has given me. And I can only do that by being honest about the past and by looking at my habits and my old ideas, my limited expectations and the things that get me away. I've loved the discussion this morning about focusing on myself and learning to say no. I just find over and over again, I was just on a call with my brother about something difficult this morning, having to do with another brother that we need to, has dementia, and we need to find housing for. And he asked me if I wanted him to be on a phone call with a lawyer, and it would make the phone call more complicated if he was on it. So I said no. And I didn't feel good about that. And so it's just a question of being that, pausing and praying and, what is my higher power's will? That's really the important question here in all these. And I'm grateful that we have this process and this way to grow spiritually and to trust the process that I'm right where I'm supposed to be today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Tom A. Thank you for your share. We have time for a couple more if you'd like to share. If you haven't shared within the last 2 days, we're on page 70. If we have been thorough about our personal inventory, ending with straighten out the past if we can. Are there one or two more that would like to share? Actually, it looks like we only have time for about one more.
Alex K.
Alex, you got it. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Alex K. recovered for today in California. The words that struck me are futility, fatality, and destructiveness. Futility, all the time and energy I wasted on my character defects, and fatality, they can lead me to compulsive eating, which can kill me. And I am left to my own devices. I am very self-destructive, not just with food, but with my thinking and other behaviors. And I'm the problem. I'm my problem, not other people or circumstances that I used to blame. And that's good news and bad news. It's really good news because that's the only thing I can change, and I can only do that with the help of this program and my higher power. And I am changing. I am much less self-destructive and more higher power centered and more focusing my energy on connecting with my higher power and being healed and transformed instead of wasting it on my character defects. I still do that sometimes, but not nearly as much. So there's lots of progress. So grateful to have this program. Thanks, everybody, for helping me with my recovery today. Pass.
Thanks, Alex K. Thank you for your share. We do have time for about a two-minute share. Who would like to share? One more? Water's warm. Anybody want to take a two-minute share?
Hey, this is Audrey M.P. I'm calling from Santa Monica. I'm in Southern California. Good morning.
Good morning, Audrey. Go ahead.
Good morning. I just I have been listening, and I just wanted to say thank you for the meeting and for everyone's share, seeing my side of the street. It's just really I woke up this morning riddled with an ongoing resentment, and, you know, I've just been able to ask myself with the help of all of you and this study today, you know, where am I wrong, and especially how can I ask God to help me see the truth in this? Where is the truth? For God to show me the truth, because clearly there's two opinions. There's name-calling, sticks and stones, not from me. I'm really trying to be humbled, but I don't want to eat today. I've made a commitment to my food, and I'm going to stick to it. Thanks for letting me share, and that's why I keep coming back. To the newcomers, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey. Would anybody like to take a 30-second share? If not, we can close the meeting and leave time for a newcomer. I'm sorry, Agnes?
Yeah, this is Agnes. So I'll go.
You got about 30 seconds, Agnes. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to share, you know, that I did the inventory recently and gave it away to my sponsor, and it was quite liberating. But it was really a stock-taking, you know. I've never done it this way before. But I think the key to it, before I used to think, oh, yay, I got to put down my resentment, what the world did to me, you know. But when I was forced to do it through the lens of, okay, that's well, I'm good. My happiness doesn't depend on what others do or I'm, you know, whatever. But yes, but, you know, when I take responsibility and see my part in all of this, then I know that with God's help, I can start to change and have more control, you know, in my future day to day. So thanks for letting me share. That's what the inventory did for me.
Thank you, Agnes. Thank you for your share. Thanks for closing us out. And thank you to everybody who had shared today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lois P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.